News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. I got to tell you, I just got one of those text messages from one of our listeners that just makes it all worthwhile. So if you're listening, Jerome in Rome, I just got your text, brother. And here's the text he said. He says, 2022 is the breakout year for Right Side Radio. He says he's walking through Lowe's. He had a man saw his Right Side t-shirt, just smiled and gave him a big thumbs up. He said, it's a brotherhood. Thank you. I am digging that. Jerome in Rome, thank you, my brother, for wearing that shirt proudly. Right Side Ruffian, I know you are. All right, so yeah, we got some stuff laid on for the day, and it's going to be interesting. And Copper, I sent you some audio clips. I did not ask you on the board there, but I'm going to go ahead and ask you now on the audio. Go ahead and get clip 3 ready, please, and let me know when you got it. So she's saying okay. Thank you very much, Miss Copper. But here's the deal. Number one, the triple dipper is this. Who's really in charge? I mean, you know, and there's all the stuff. There's all the stuff about Joe Biden and whether he is cognitively all there. I've avoided most of that kind of stuff, right? I don't think it's my place to try and diagnose somebody from afar. There are times when I think that's tacky. There are other times when I feel like it's painfully obvious. Like, you know, it doesn't take much for me to see when someone is visibly lost, or when someone appears to have, you know, trouble putting together sentences or says things and then his staff has to walk it back like consistently. I get it once in a while. It happens all the time with him, all of the time. Like there's any number of people that really are speculating that truthfully he is sort of being told what to say and being shielded from things he doesn't need to say or need to know. And I hope that's not the case, because he's supposed to be the leader of the free world, and not a figurehead. I mean, what we don't want is to know later on that this was Weekend at Bernie's and it was really not happening. That being said, there's other aspects of his presidency. But I'm looking at an article right here on townhall.com calling Joe Biden the accidental president. And I thought that was interesting. I wanted to see what it was going to say. Townhall.com, it's a conservative site where you're going to find conservative viewpoints. Well, this one certainly is. And there's no author on this one. This one is literally, apparently, just the townhall.com editorial board, I guess. They start off by saying Joe Biden is the accidental president. He's the result of an accident of American politics. Says he became the Democrats' nominee in 2020 by accident. He should not have even run in the first place. Well, I agree with that. But they reminded me of something. I had not thought of this. How did I forget this piece? A point out in here, it says, if he was such a great man and a gifted leader and our nation couldn't do without him, why didn't he just run for a term at the end of his vice presidency? So this would have been the natural move for such a powerful and important and wise leader, but he didn't run in 2016. And did you notice that nobody seemed to notice? Nobody seemed to care. Even Obama sat by and let him languish as the Democrats openly joked about him and Hillary Clinton's henchmen bullied him into officially declaring himself a non-candidate. That's true. Now they go on to say he ended up getting the 2020 nomination because the other choices at the time were Pete Buttigieg, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders, and he became the dream nominee when you had that kind of a panel. I agree with that too. All that to say, now he's in charge, or at least he allegedly is. Well, that gives him the luxury of appointing a cabinet. And when you appoint a cabinet, you're supposed to surround yourself with good people who are experts in certain fields who can then do things and keep you advised or run the day-to-day of whatever that certain field is. And here, so there's, how many cabinet positions are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's about 12 cabinet positions, all right? And Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution gives the Senate the responsibility for considering and confirming those, but the president gets to pick his people, basically. Every once in a while, you have a wingding who doesn't get confirmed, or they drop out because they recognize it's going to be a fight. For the most part, there's a typical courtesy in D.C. of allowing someone to pick their cabinet. But then, like I said, the occasional wingding is just too far and they can't do it. But let's take a look at some of the ones that are actively holding the position, a cabinet position, of everything from Secretary of Agriculture, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of Education, gosh, what else? Secretary of Health and Human Services. And let me ask you, when have you heard anything from some of these? Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack. Well, we're in a position right now where we're looking at major major supply chain issues regarding foodstuffs. We got farms that are shipping to the California ports and having it rot on the ports and not even make it to the export. Where's the secretary? I've not even seen, as much as I watch the news and try to stay in tune, I've not seen anything from Tom Vilsack, Secretary of Agriculture. All right, Merrick Garland, AG, yes. Lloyd Austin, Secretary of Defense, yes. Jennifer Granholm, Secretary of Energy. I saw a couple things where she, you know, made some gaffes. They need to stop her from coming out because every time she comes out, she laughs or says something inappropriate about our energy sector. But she's there. Okay. But then Javier Becerra, Secretary of Health and Human Services. Well, the man's a ghost. We're in the middle of allegedly a pandemic that is of epic scales. When is the last time you heard anything from the Secretary of Health and Human Services? Well, I'll come back to that in a minute because the reality is no one knows where he is right now. How about Alejandro Mayorkas, Secretary of Homeland Security? Yeah, he's been around some. But have you really seen him making the kind of appearances that should be made when you consider what's happening on our southern border and he's the Secretary of Homeland Security? I've seen him some, not much. Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Marcia Fudge. I don't know that I need to hear anything from them right now, but nonetheless. Secretary of the Interior, Deb Haaland. Huh. No. How about Secretary of Labor in the middle of the pandemic economics and the fact that we had people out of work and then being paid to be out of work and unemployment was at skyrocketing levels. When have you heard from the Secretary of Labor, Marty Walsh, who was confirmed back in March of this year? Me either. Then there's Pete Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg, Secretary of Transportation. Buttigieg took, 2 months off? 2 months off for paternity leave. He and his partner, his husband, I guess, he and his husband adopted twins. And so Pete Buttigieg, in the middle of the supply chain disruptions that we're seeing right now as Secretary of Transportation, when you can't get goods out of the ports and you can't get the goods that you get out of the ports across the nation on trucks because there's not enough truckers and the regulations and things that have to be dealt with and whether or not we should make a change in the middle of a pandemic-induced supply chain disruption made worse by liberal policies. Where was he? Well, for 2 months, he was learning how to bottle feed his baby. That's what he said. That's not my words. That's his. Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen. Yes, we've seen her some. Sure have. Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Dennis McDonough. Or is it Denise? I don't know. But no, I don't know where that person is. I have heard nothing. As we see things happening with veterans being axed from service and being sent to the street, and they don't have any recourse because they chose not to get a shot, I'm questioning what's going to happen with their veterans' benefits. Have you heard anything from the Secretary of Veterans Affairs? Did you know the Secretary of Veterans Affairs' last name was McDonough? No, I didn't. What you're seeing here is a cabinet of largely ineffective individuals, some of whom are completely absent from their job, not the least of which is the Vice President, who is named as the border czar and has not been to the border but once in that entire time. So what I'm saying to you is this. I'm going to spend a little time right now giving you some pretty clear stuff on the fact that some of these cabinet members, they are ghosts. It's as if they don't exist. And if they do exist, what in God's name are they doing? Because almost every single one of the ones that I mentioned is literally in the midst of a crisis, whether it be the supply chain, whether it be the pandemic, whether it be unemployment, whether it be issues related to agriculture and agribusiness. I'm just telling you, it's a difficult time, and these people are supposed to be the front and center face of the administration on each of those issues. When's the last time you saw them? Think about it. Maybe never. All right. We're gonna nail that one down in more detail when we get back from this break. Copper, you hold that audio for me till we get back from the break. That's gonna be Representative Kat Kamek from Florida talking with Jason Chaffetz about the fact that we don't even know where our Secretary of Health and Human Services is right now because he hasn't done a single press conference and he's only visited the National Institutes of Health once in his entire 8 month administration. Wow. All right, folks. More of that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, let me just go ahead and tell you, I went ahead and looked up Dennis McDonough. I knew I'd heard the name, but I wasn't placing it, and it's because it harkens back to the Obama administration. Yeah, that probably puts some fear into some of you, but Dennis McDonough is, he's now the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Secretary of the VA. That's big doings. McDonough was the, where'd it go right here? He was the, he worked as an aide for the U.S. House Committee on Foreign Affairs, because of his time having taught English in Belize and in Latin America. He served as a foreign policy advisor to Tom Daschle. He went on to work in the Barack Obama White House as a foreign policy advisor and then got recruited up to become, the chief of staff for President Obama. So there he is. He was the president's chief of staff for President Obama, and he was now appointed by President Biden to be the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. It's only the second time that a non-veteran has held the position. What does that tell you about the priorities of this administration? So there you have the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, a non-veteran himself, serving as the secretary for all benefits and medical relief related to veterans. A non-veteran who has no other experience except that he was working in the Obama White House. Have you heard from him? I have not. All right, so listen, I got an audio clip. Copper, you still got that ready for that clip three? Let's do this. This one's slightly longer than usual, about 2 minutes. But it was worth it because I couldn't find a break in there that was worth stopping it on. So let's just do this. So Secretary of Health and Human Services, Secretary Javier Becerra. I got an article right here. This one came off of Fox. Literally the title is, Americans haven't seen Becerra at a single White House COVID briefing. He is missing in action. This article is fresh as of today. This week, as President Biden seemed to abandon all pretense of having a plan to address COVID-19, some are wondering whether a silver alert needs to be issued for Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra. Ah, good point. As you know, it goes on to say, as Americans bemoan the inaccessibility of testing for COVID, the restrictions on monoclonal antibody treatments, which, by the way, Charlene just sent me something on that, and it's awful. The risk of infection from untested border crossers and the surge in deadly fentanyl, Becerra has offered no solutions. Go ahead, Copper. Let's play clip three with Representative Kat Kamek talking about that very thing. Go ahead.
Biden couldn't remember who the Health and Human Services Secretary is. And frankly, most of you probably can't either because we never see him. That's because it's Secretary Becerra, and he's been totally absent. Becerra has yet to attend a single White House COVID briefing. Think about it. He's Health and Human Services Secretary. He hasn't attended one White House briefing on this. He hasn't held a press conference on the matter, and it took him more than 7 months to visit the National Institutes of Health during a pandemic. So where is Secretary Becerra? He's like a COVID man of mystery. Joining me now is Florida Congresswoman Kat Kamek. Thank you, Congresswoman, for joining us from Florida. Congresswoman, where is this guy? He's the Secretary of Health and Human Services during a pandemic, and I never see him.
Jason, first, thanks for having me. Good to see you. And to your point, I don't know. This has definitely turned into a game of where's Waldo? No one seems to be able to find him on really any of the issues that he has full jurisdiction over. It could be COVID, which, of course, as you just said, he has not even been to one of the major press conferences at the White House, which you would think that the Secretary of Health and Human Services would be a part of. When it came to the border issue, which HHS has a major role to play in the border because Border Patrol turns over all of the unaccompanied children over to HHS, a whole nother story. He hasn't been down there. nor has he been out front and center dealing with the opioid epidemic. So on the major issues, the major crises that we have been facing as Americans, the Health and Human, the HHS Secretary has been MIA. And when asked about this, I believe in a radio interview that a reporter was able to actually track him down, they asked, well, why aren't you at any of these major briefings? And why aren't you more front and center talking about this issue the same way that Secretary Azar was? And he said, it's, quote, not the profile that counts, it's the results.
Let's talk about the results. Go ahead and stop it right there, Copper. Let's talk about the results. I mean, did you hear that? Can you imagine what is bigger right now for the Department of Health and Human Services? Maybe the pandemic. That would be huge, right? But then she also just pointed out his office has purview over what happens to these children who come across the border and get separated from their parents. Or how about the fact that we've got an opioid crisis or the fentanyl that's being brought across the border? Has there been a press conference from him, the face of the actual office itself? No, none of it. Now, the article that I told you I had from Fox a minute ago, there's a piece down at the very bottom of it that says, this past week, if you looked really hard, you could find mention of Becerra promoting a new rule forcing religious healthcare workers to perform abortions and gender transition surgeries. Oh, God. He seems to care about Medicaid expansion, about growing Obamacare, and about punishing pharmaceutical companies but not drug traffickers who distribute opioids. He has no background in medicine or healthcare. He was an attorney general who filed 107 lawsuits to overturn Trump administration policies on everything from abortion to Obamacare and LGBTQ rights and gun violence. Meanwhile, on the biggest healthcare issues of our time, he is invisible even though he's a Secretary of Health and Human Services. Charlene just sent me something a moment ago that also said that apparently HHS has decided to play games with the monoclonal antibodies that are there for treating people who are diagnosed with COVID. And they're restricting them. What in God's name? And yet he is not anywhere to explain this, leaving, I guess, Jen Psaki to stand at the podium and do the best she can. I will say this, though. If it wasn't his priority, if he really didn't dig it, if that wasn't what he wanted to do, okay. But another article I've got here from NBC News, which is far more forgiving of the man, I will say this. Far more forgiving, even though the title of it is The Very Low Public Profile of Biden's Health Secretary, Javier Becerra, who said that fighting COVID would be his top priority and now seems invisible. Okay, so the headline didn't cut him any slack, but this article came out on Friday, December 10th, and it says that during his confirmation proceedings, he told senators that fighting the pandemic would be his top priority. And then at some point, Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat of Oregon, noted the challenges of having a pandemic and a healthcare system that was already strained and told Becerra there may not be a higher stakes job in the executive branch outside the presidency itself. And yet, for some reason, the man is invisible. Who's really running things in that regard is what I want to know. If it's him, he sure isn't willing to stand up and say, I'm the guy. I'm the reason why we have these policies. I'm the guy. I'm the one who advised the president. I'm the one in charge of this stuff. But he's not. And he's not taking press conferences. And then I got, you know, one of those unnamed sources. I'll just say it. It's in the same article. A senior health official in the Obama administration who did not want to be named said, quote, the fact that he is not visible is very striking, saying that the public health community has faced unprecedented challenges this year and that the agency, his agency, Health and Human Services, which has 80,000 employees, would certainly benefit from having a larger public profile. Okay. Enough on beating up on Javier Becerra, although he deserves it. But where in God's name is he? And why would he not be out front? I mean, for someone who sought the position, for someone who had been a public figure, an attorney general in California, you would think that he would understand the value of public presence. That's one of the things that leadership does, is when times get hard, the leader makes sure that his people know he's there, and he's not. How about this one? Let's talk about Vice President Kamala Harris. Well, if we must. New York Post, dated Monday, December 13th. Jen Psaki insists that Harris is still the border czar, even after the Guatemalan leaders claim they have had no contact with her. Now, harken back to this. I think it was February or March of this year. President Biden, giving one of his very first addresses, was asked about issues related to the border, and he said, "I have appointed Vice President Kamala Harris because there's no one better suited than her to handle this border crisis." Okay. We're not sure why no one was better suited, but let's go ahead and take that at face value. Well, since that time, she has been trying to restructure this desperately to say that she's not really about the border. She's about the root causes of the border. Well, translate that. I don't want to deal with the border, but I will make trips down to Latin America and try to talk to them some. Well, even that hadn't been going. So White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki claimed back on December 13th that Vice President Kamala Harris is still the Biden administration's point person on immigration, even after the president of Guatemala said in an interview the week prior that he has had no contact with any top U.S. official since the summer. And Peter Ducey, God bless Peter Ducey, was asking Jen Psaki if he said Vice President Harris and he's not spoken to her, and if she's in charge, why? Why is that? Psaki claimed the administration has had a range of conversations with Guatemala and will continue that high level of engagement. Well, not with her, apparently, because the next article I've got here came from Newsweek. Newsweek, not exactly a conservative bastion, but, you know, they still report some. Newsweek said on November 24th, that was around Thanksgiving. That was Thanksgiving. That was the day before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving would mark 5 months since Vice President Harris had publicly visited the southern border. 2 million detentions across our border, an estimated 500,000 more that got by without being seen. And she has not even gone to the border but once. And when she did, all she did was go and visit a Customs and Border Patrol facility that was away from the major areas of concern. As the face, this article says in Newsweek, as the face of the Biden administration's border policy team, Harris remains a target for those dismayed by the large number of crossings, with others in the administration, like Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas, having to reiterate that she's not a border czar. She's just addressing root causes. What does that even mean? Well, you can use executive action, the article points out in Newsweek. There's things you can actually do. Executive action. Keep in mind, she's the vice president. That still makes her an executive, right? Executive action can be taken to move money, to apply pressure to foreign leaders, to do things that direct other executive employees. She can be given certain authorities by charter from the president. Harris remains focused, it says in this article, on these actions and appears intent on letting the public know that this is her area of concern. Yeah, but she's doing nothing right now about it. All right, Copper, let's go ahead and run to a break. We come back. I'm going to talk to you about Pete Buttigieg for a minute. Because old man was absent on the job for a bit. Who's really in charge? Number one of the triple dipper. That's what I want to know. Storyline is this. The Biden administration has people that are supposed to be running the show. And we don't even know where they are. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We will be right back. All right, let's try that again. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. Copper, how do you copy? Are we good to go?
Much better.
Much better. I like the sound of that. Okay, so yeah, sorry, folks. Technology every once in a while does not want to cooperate. By the way, let me just say this. Speaking of technology, if you are listening to this by AM and FM, which is great because we got a huge AM-FM footprint across North Alabama and South Tennessee here at WVNN, just know this, though, that if you're getting outside the range, heading over the mountain, going on vacation, whatever the case may be, that it doesn't matter. You can go to our website, rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org, and click on Listen Live, and no matter where you is, there we is what I like to say. We got folks all over. Like a minute ago, I just read a text from Jerome in Rome, Georgia, who sent me something, listens to the show all the time. We got guys and ladies that call in from out of state. We had a call yesterday from Steve in Tennessee. We had one from Jeff in Indiana. That's just the cool thing about technology is when it's working, by the way, is that we've got listeners all over the place. So yeah, rightsideradio.org, click on Listen Live, and we'll go with you on your vacation. So wrapping up this section, all right, I'm going to wrap this up. It is apparent to me that we have an administration that does not understand what it means to lead from the front. Maybe they think they do, but I really don't think they do. We've got a lot of folks there who've never had to lead that are suddenly in positions of leadership. Think about it. You've got a guy right now who is the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. No one's ever seen him. He didn't serve in the military himself. And there's nothing on his resume that I could see that says he's been in charge of something. Now, he was a chief of staff. Okay. But nonetheless, he's never run a business. He's never had to lead troops. He's never, you know, run a large organization. But now he's in charge of tens of thousands of people who are in charge of all benefits for veterans in the United States. Then you got Pete Buttigieg. Buttigieg, I guess, you know, he was the mayor of town in Indiana. I forgot which one now. You know, he was a mid-sized town mayor. And that is technically an executive position, leadership to some degree. But does a real leader, someone who wants to lead from the front, recognize national crisis and then take a full 2 months of paternity leave? I can imagine being out for a week. I can even imagine doing a press conference or a press release and saying, we're happy to have our new children, our twins. I'm going to be taking 2 weeks off, you know, helping get things sorted out at the house. I'm in touch. Don't worry. No. Supply chain management was out the door. The supply chain crisis had the entire, you know, shipping and receiving of goods in the United States in complete disruption. And the guy who's in charge of it was gone for 2 months. 2 months to make sure that he and his partner knew how to bottle feed their babies. And that's, by the way, what he said. So, yeah, okay, New York Post, first article I've got in my hands. Reaching back to October for this one. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg on Sunday defended being AWOL on paternity leave amid the U.S.'s crippling, that's right, supply chain crisis, while warning that the upheaval could stretch on to the holidays. In other words, he came back from his paternity leave saying, hey, this is going to go on for a while. It's going to be bad. It's going to get worse. But Buttigieg said he did not consider it to be vacation. It was work. But he offered no new solutions to immediately address the urgent situation that left cargo ships idling off U.S. ports, store shelves empty, and Christmas gifts giving threatened. He had a very laissez-faire attitude, basically. But then Tucker Carlson wore him out, man. So that article on the New York Post came out on Sunday, October 17th. That same night, Tucker wore him out. I think it was Tucker that broke the news that he was on paternity leave, which really caught everybody off guard. Culturally speaking, by the way, I get it. Go home and help. Take that paternity leave if you can. I understand. 2 months? 2 months? His spouse had a C-section and had to recover. It wasn't like there was any kind of labor and delivery issues involved. No, two men adopted babies. They took a picture of themselves posing in a hospital bed, not sure why. And then for 2 months, he bottle fed the children. And he says that in the next article on USA Today, October 18th. Pete Buttigieg responds to Tucker Carlson mocking his paternity leave. It's important work, he said. Pete Buttigieg is not listed USA Today, by the way. USA Today is not a conservative source. So for them to give this a little time is interesting. They're trying to give him like space to reply. Well, it says he's been on leave. This is Tucker Carlson's comments, by the way. Pete Buttigieg has been on leave from his job since August after adopting a child. Paternity leave, they call it, trying to figure out how to breastfeed, but no word on how that went. It cracks me up. All right. But then, you know, of course, he came back and said, we were bottle feeding our children and doing it all hours of the day and night. Okay. I'm just saying that's not leadership. Folks, I asked the question, who's really in charge? Yep. You have to ask, because you have a cabinet full of people that have never led anything, and they don't seem to have any idea what that really means. All right, folks, listen, we're going to a break right now for the news. When I come back, I got Sean Ross calling in. Sean Ross has got sort of plugged in on state politics. We're going to talk about primaries, who's running, what are we seeing in the state of Alabama right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We will be right back.